Michael O'Keefe is an Academy Award nominated actor whose four-decade career spans film, television, and theater. His work is generally distinguished by emotional restraint and moral intelligence. Emily Donahoe is an American actress known for her appearances in intimate, character-driven film, television, and theater. Her performances are marked by emotional clarity and restraint, largely in projects that embrace relationships, interior lives, and moral complexities. A Break in the Rain is one example and plays into the late work of both actors. A Break in the Rain is a quiet, reflective drama that features O'Keefe and Donahoe as father and daughter-in-law on a road trip to attend the funeral of his son and her husband. Together, the actors manage to execute a sleight of hand that brings an unmistakable sense of lived-in intimacy to the screen work. A Break in the Rain was directed by Don Scardino, known for such celebrated TV programs as 30 Rock, Only Murders in the Building, The West Wing, Law and Order, Grey's Anatomy, Fargo, The Good Wife, and Young Sheldon. A Break in the Rain speaks to audiences attuned to stillness, interior lives, and emotional maturity. It favors observation over exposition and trusts viewers to lean into silence. Rather than offering catharsis, A Break in the Rain invites reflection about things such as how parents and children can carry loss differently and how connection sometimes returns not through answers, but simply and honestly by showing up and really listening. This is Susan Zeebrock, Telluride Inside and Out, speaking on behalf of the Sedona Film Festival and with Michael O'Keefe and Emily Donahoe about A Break in the Rain and more in the run-up to the Sedona Film Festival. Thank you both for taking time out to join me.
Well, thanks for having us.
So, Michael,
yeah, we're thrilled to be here.
Thank you. So let's begin with you and your backstory. You grew up in New York and were therefore surrounded by theater and film culture. But what led you to become a professional actor? And how did you go about realizing what for many is an impossible dream?
Well, I was dropped as a child, Susan, and it all started there. when I was in high school, I was in working in the theater in the high school theater program, and we had a choreographer who was a wonderful guy named Roger Leonard, who was a cousin of our teacher and director, Regina Fry. And he said to me, you know, you could probably book some commercials and I can introduce you to some people. And then that happened. And then I started taking acting lessons at the American Academy of Dramatic Art when I was a sophomore in high school. This would have been 1970. And then I got an offer to do a play in New York at the Public Theater when I was 18, and I dropped out of NYU, and I just bit the bullet and just never looked back, you know. And at the time, of course, you know, I didn't really have any inhibition about it at all. In retrospect, it was kind of crazy, but it seemed to have worked out.
Apparently it did. So, Emily, excuse me, you seem to have chosen to keep much of your personal life private, and I totally respect that. Yet your performances feel deeply lived in. So how have you managed to balance emotional availability in your screen work while maintaining the boundaries of your personal life?
Oh, well, you know, I think that one of the things about that is that film, I mean, especially like in this film, for example, and probably in a lot of the things I've done, the emotional openness is just there in it, you know? So I just really tried, especially with this, to just show up and like be prepared and really listen, you know. It's such a, and it's so much fun to do, you know, that those everything's always just seemed to kind of naturally fall into place in that respect.
Great. Michael, you built a career, as we suggested in the introduction, on studied restraint. So how do you know when a performance is doing enough and when it might be doing too much?
You know, a lot of what I do is to try to prepare by making a lot of decisions about the actor's backstory, I mean, the character's backstory and the environment they grew up in and the environment they're living in before the story starts. Mm-hmm. And I try to make it very clear that there was a life leading up to the beginning of the story in the film or the play. And then once I make all those decisions and I kind of decide what I'm going to do, the next thing I do is when I actually give the performances, I try to not know what I'm going to do. in the sense that I want to have that kind of spontaneity of not knowing, which is more intimate in a way. And I try to really focus on the other actors. What are they doing? What are they thinking? What are they feeling? Where are they in relationship to me in the story? Do I like them? Do I not like them? Do I connect with them? Am I looking to connect with them? Do they owe me something? Do I owe them something? And I try to really hone in on them so that we create something together, because really that's what it's about. There's a kind of event that takes place between the actors. And if the script is strong enough, which I think A Break in the Rain is a good example of a strong script, then the story can kind of get elevated by the intimacy that the actors can connect. And then, that transmutes into something the audience can actually appreciate and want to watch.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. Emily, let me ask you this one. A Break in the Rain asks audiences to sit with silence, misalignment, and emotional pauses, things that most movies rush to resolve. Were you consciously resisting performance in favor of presence? Was that your director? Was that exactly what Don Scardino asked for? And did your close relationship outside of the workplace change the way you listen to each other on screen? So it's a three-part question.
I mean, I think in terms of like consciously resisting performance in favor of presence, I don't know. You know, it just seemed that like the film was such a quiet film that really, Michael was talking earlier about the importance of listening. And I feel like it really done set the table so well and the script was so strong that we really just tried to show up and be present in the scene. So I guess maybe I don't know about performative, but it definitely felt maybe more so than other things I've done, where, like listening and watching and the quiet of it was very, very important. And it was really interesting because, you know, Michael and I had never worked together before as actors.
Wow.
So we've been together for more than 15 years, but this is the first time we've ever done anything together. So I'm sure that intimacy served us somehow, you know, but in a way our characters didn't even know each other that well, you know, which was really, really fun. And, you know, like, for example, working with Michael, just trying to keep an eye on him and watch him, and they're so full, there's so much there. And that's true of every other part of the movie as well. But I think that probably the mandate here more than ever was just to listen and watch really carefully.
Great. Thank you for that answer. And Michael, you were nominated for an Oscar for The Great Santini right out of the gate. How did early recognition shape or complicate your relationship with your work and with the notion of ambition?
Well, you know, it's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it was an amazing, validating, you know, uplifting experience that really gave me an incredible amount of momentum and presence within the industry, and people were interested in me all of a sudden, and that was great. And then, frankly, I really didn't have the character or the artistic judgment to maintain it. And so after 4 or 5 years, you know, that was really over in terms of any kind of momentum like that. Because I made a series of really not that very interesting movies. So then I had to decide, you know, how am I going to do this? You know, I'm here, I'm committed, you know, now what, you know? And one of the things I did, one of the downsides of it was, you know, I kind of, you may find this hard to believe, Susan, but I was a little arrogant after that.
No.
Yes, it's a shock, I'm sure.
Shocking.
And I really had to humble myself and become teachable. And so I started studying with a number of different acting coaches, most of them connected to the Actors Studio. Marilyn Freed was in New York. Penny Allen was in L.A. And I started working with them on auditions and when I got parts. And they really... they really got very serious with me about what I was doing and how I was doing it and what I wanted to accomplish. And God bless them, because they really got through. And it took, you know, it didn't happen overnight. But when I finally started getting what they were talking about, then my work started changing in the right way and I started getting more opportunities.
Okay. Thank you for that. Now, Emily, Michael just gave me a great segue to this question for you. Who would you cite as mentors or major influences over the course of your career?
Emily?
Hello. Sorry, can you hear me?
I can.
Yes.
Sorry about that. I was muted, so there wasn't any background noise. I was thinking about this question before, you know, and I guess there's two types of answers for me. The first of which is I got my MFA years ago at UCSD, and I was taught there by Kyle Donnelly and the director Les Waters, who I would cite as major mentors for me. And I've worked with both of them in the theater a lot. But I think I kind of had a revolving list of actors that I've loved, as many men as women that have probably like thought of as mentors in my head. We've been watching the Harry Potter movies with our son, and I was watching Alan Rickman last night, and I was like, God, you know, I really feel like I think about Alan Rickman a lot when I work, like just trying to be the type of actor that he is. So I guess there are the people who've actually mentored me and then the people that I've looked up to whose work I've tried to emulate even in the smallest way.
Great. Michael, word on the street is that you've been a meditator for over 40 years. In what ways, if any, does that discipline impact the discipline you bring to your trade?
Well, a lot of what goes on in meditation is cultivating a sense of immersion in the moment and then an awareness of the moment-to-moment aspect of how we experience life and experience ourselves and others. And that's really a lot of what acting is about, is that kind of capacity to have a singularity of focus and an intimacy and spontaneity that allows you to just really feel and see and think and be a part of whatever's going on around you. And usually, and what I mean by that in the context of acting is the story. You know, the most important, the way I think about it, the most important thing is the story. What's the story being told? How do we tell it? And the way you do that is you immerse yourself in it, and you have to have a quality of letting go of your quote-unquote real world to get into the story world of the film or the theater. And that's very much what meditation's about. It's about cultivating a deep awareness and a kind of self-forgetting. And that's important for actors. You know, you have to forget the self that you walk around in the daily life, and you have to put it aside in a way so that you can inhabit what the character's about.
Thank you. And this question either of you can field. What kinds of stories feel most urgent to you right now at this stage of your lives and work and in these troubled times? Should we assume A Break in the Rain is a prime example? Either of you jump in.
Well, I'll start. I think that one of the things that's so great about this movie, and I think it, what would be so great now to see more and more of, are stories that world build. I feel like we've seen, there's so much dystopian stuff, and all that, of course, feels so resonant right now. But I think what's so special about this movie is it has such a kind of loving, beating heart at the middle of it. And so stories that are building worlds like that are especially meaningful to me right now.
Great. Michael, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Emily kind of hit the nail on the head. You know, I think the culture that we're living in is kind of immolating in a way. And it's because of, I think, there's so many different pressures about, you know, population explosion, limitation in terms of commodities like, you know, water, food, space, things like that. And that kind of pressure is sometimes bringing out the best in us and sometimes bringing out the worst of us. And so I think the stories that can allegorically connect to what's going on that way. I'm not particularly interested in seeing a history of the 21st century, if you know what I mean, as much as I'm interested in seeing stories that somehow metaphorically connect to what's going on and capture the zeitgeist of what we're all going through.
Okay. Again, I throw this out to either one of you. Probably Emily, it's your turn. Why was Scardino the right director for the soft-spoken, emotionally resonant A Break in the Rain?
Oh my gosh. I mean, in a way, I think Michael's really going to be the one to answer this because he's known Don so long and worked with him so much. But as someone who just met him on this film and worked with him for the first time, you know, Don was an actor years ago, and it seems very much to me that talking to him, it was like talking to another actor. And I just think he's really tuned in to, I don't know, like quiet, truthful moments, whether it's in comedy or drama or whatever. I think he's just very tuned in to the truth of what's happening and sets the table and lets that and empowers that, empowers the actors to make that happen. So I think that certainly, you know, suited this script really well. And the fact that, you know, he and Dana, of course, have been together for so long, I think that they're very intimate in this work. There was a lot of people that knew each other around this film. There was kind of a family around it. And I think that type of love and intimacy really served the story that was made.
Great.
Yeah, and as, you know, as Emily said, Dana Williams, the screen who wrote the screenplay, is married to Don. They've been married for years. I'm the godfather of their son. I've known Don since I was a teenager, and I've worked with him 5 times, I think, now. So we just have an understanding, you know, and the thing that really touched me about him as a director is that it's a huge leap of faith to have a project like this and then turn it over to an actor. What you're really saying is, I believe in you, and I know you're the guy that can carry this across the goal line, as it were. And so mm-hmm. with that kind of encouragement and tacit approval just creates an environment where, you know, you just feel like you show up, you know what you need to do, and Don can kind of guide it. And because he's as connected to Dana as he is, and as Emily said, because he was as good an actor as he was before he became a director, he can talk to actors in the way that very, very few directors know how to do because he's been there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. And finally, what are you both looking forward to most about attending the Sedona Film Festival with A Break in the Rain?
I'm going to kidnap Emily and put her on a helicopter against her will so that she can see the vast nature of the Sedona vortex energy system. And I'm going to force her to enjoy that whether she wants to or not.
Emily, your response to that?
He is teasing me because I'm terrified of being in a helicopter. But I've never been to Sedona, and Michael has. So I'm really looking forward to being there for the first time. And I, you know, I love going to film festivals, whether it's with a film or as an audience member. And I'm so excited to go to Sedona and be part of the festival and get the vibe there and see some of the movies that are on the slate. They all look really interesting.
Wonderful. It's been Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside Now for the Sedona Film Festival. Honored to have been speaking with Michael O'Keefe and Emily Donahoe. The movie they're bringing to town is A Break in the Rain. Thank you both for taking time out of your schedule to join me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.